The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Looking for purpose? Feeling lost in the noise? Paul's letter to the Ephesians reveals a radical truth.
You are chosen, adopted, and redeemed.
It's not about doing more.
It's about knowing whose you are. You are in Christ, and you can make a difference in the world.
Well, this morning I brought in a couple of lamps that I just want to plug in here at the start. One, get the other one up. Something looks not quite right. One's a lot brighter than the other. All right, well, if there's a difference in brightness, there's process of elimination. There's two possible reasons. One is there could be a difference in power supply going to them, or it could be a difference in the lamps, right? Well, let's check. In terms of power supply, they're both coming out of the same power board, so that shouldn't be a problem. So they're both getting the same amount of power. So that means that there's something not right with that lamp. True? All right, so the issue's the lamp. All right, we're going to come back and think about that a little bit more as we go through this morning. But do you know that Jesus said that you're meant to be a light? That you are to let your light shine before others. In other words, what that means is that if you follow Jesus, the light of Christ in you should bring God's light, God's glory, God's goodness, his hope and his joy to those around about you. In other words, when you are with others, you're meant to make things better because of the presence of Jesus in you. You're a metaphorical brighter light in the darkness. Have you ever felt that you're a bit like that lamp when you wish you were like this lamp? What I mean is, have you ever felt that you're sort of not as bright as you wish you could be? That you're not having, you know, the impact to bring light into darkness the way that you would want to be? And so we've got to ask the question then, the same as we did earlier, is the issue that there's a lack of God's power coming to you, or is it you? It's the same question we ask here. We discovered that it could either be the amount of power coming to the lamp, or there's an issue with the lamp. And we discovered that it's the same power going to both, so the issue's with the lamp. We have to ask ourselves the same question. That's what today's passage asks us. Why do we often fail to shine brightly despite having access to unrestricted power from God? Now, today we're going to talk around this aspect of power in Christ. And the word power causes some people to be fearful. They've experienced power that's been misappropriated, misused, and it's hurt them, it's affected them. And so power can be dangerous, but power can be beautiful. If we look at the example of water, and when you see a flood and you see the power of the water and it's washing down that gully or down that creek, or even it might be outside the bounds of the gully and the creek, and it's washing logs and debris with it, and you see the power in it, and you know that that's dangerous. On the other hand, you can have the same volume of water with the same equivalent power, and you see it coming over the top of the waterfall, and you go, oh, that's beautiful. In both cases, you've got power that is evident, but one is dangerous and one is beautiful. The challenge, it was when the water is not where it's meant to be. And so it's the same with power. Power can be beautiful, but it can be dangerous if it's out of control or it's in the wrong place. Problems with any type of power occur when it's used in the wrong place or in the wrong way. And today, we'll see that God's power is immeasurably more powerful, beautiful, and glorious than we can imagine. And power needs to be treated with respect. Just ask any electrician. You've got to be aware of what you're working with. When Paul wrote this passage, it's actually a prayer. And so he starts with respect. He starts with humility. And he actually does that with his posture. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. He starts in a position, a posture of respect and humility. And the posture of kneeling, whether literally, as some people do, because they actually find that they want to kneel before God in their prayer, or for others, it's a posture of humility. They posture their heart in a place of kneeling, so to speak. We need to come before God in that posture of humility, to kneel before God as we consider the topic of power. Because power can be beautiful or dangerous. When we look at this passage, it says, I kneel before the Father. Do you know the Father, the term Father, is the most common description of God in the New Testament? The most common description of God is Father. And Jesus taught his disciples to say Father when they prayed. That's what we've just done this morning when we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. When Jesus was talking to his Father, he often used the term Abba, a very intimate, personal word for God. Our equivalent would be Daddy. And Jesus knew that an earthly father should give good gifts to his children. And he knows that our heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to us, his children. And that's why Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the passage we're looking at today from Ephesians 3, we find Paul praying a prayer for power to be available to us through the Holy Spirit. And he comes from a position of humility as he kneels before the Father. If we want to shine more brightly for God, if we want to ask for his power to shine in us and through us, then we should follow Paul's example of coming in humility before our Father, who desires to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And today's passage is a prayer, so let us take a moment and let us pray. Father, your Son Jesus said to you, our Father, who is in heaven, that you will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So this morning we come humbly and we ask that you would strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit so that we will glorify you. Amen. These words I've just prayed come from verse 16. And in the next four verses, we actually see that there's four key points that stand out about God's power that's available to you. And interestingly, each one of these points starts with that. That you're or that you. And so we're going to look at these in turn. And the first point is that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. See, this is a prayer that Paul is praying. He is praying that God would strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit. Well, how does he give us power? It says here that he gives us power out of his glorious riches. A few weeks ago, we saw that when Solomon's temple was built and they were commissioning it, where they were celebrating the opening of it, they were consecrating the temple, that the presence of God came down in glory and filled the temple. Then as we got to Ephesians 1, we saw that it is God's desire that in the same way as the physical temple had been filled with his glory, it's his desire that the church would be filled with the presence and glory of God. And now in this passage, we see that it's God's desire that we, as individuals, and as we'll see later too, the church, would be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit and of his glory. Because he will fill us out of his glorious riches. God longs for us to have power so that we are like a lamp that shines his glory to the world. And when Jesus spoke about us being like a lamp in Matthew 5:16, we looked at the first part of this verse earlier, in the same way, let your light shine before others. But as we continue to read this, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God desires that we would be like a lamp, that we would shine bright in the world, that we would reveal the glory of God to the world, which in turn will bring glory to our Father. See, God intends that he would strengthen us with power through his Spirit, which in turn will cause us to shine God's glory to the world around about us and bring him glory. And the reality of the Holy Spirit coming and living in us, dwelling in us, is reinforced with the second point, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So in verse 17 it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, this is not referring to a moment of conversion when someone first puts their faith in Jesus. When someone first puts their faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in them. That's true. But what we see here is it's actually referring to the fact that when someone has put their faith in Jesus and is growing as a Christian, God desires that the Holy Spirit would increasingly be present, would dwell and increasingly release his presence and his glory in your life. And as there's an increased presence of God in your life, there's an increased power of God released in your life as well. See, that's the third that we see in this passage. That you may have power. Now again, remember this is a prayer, and it's a prayer that's leading us to having power. So if you want power from God, you have to humbly ask for it. Now earlier I said problems with power occur when it's used in the wrong way, in the wrong place, if it's out of control. But what if this power is safe when it's used correctly? See, this power that is available to us is grounded in love. The greatest power possible is grounded in love. And that's what makes it safe and beautiful and glorious. And this is what we see in the next part. In this section under that you may have power, there's actually three sections that sit underneath that. The first is the power comes from being rooted and established in love. The power that God makes available to us is rooted and established in love. On one occasion, Kylie and I went away for a few days on a prayer retreat. We try and do that from time to time. And on this particular occasion, we were staying in a beautiful little place. They had some beautiful gardens around. And the owner of that place said to us, I'd love to take you through the garden. And so he walked through the garden and he was picking lavender and he did it up as a posy and handed it to Kylie. And then he said, and look at my roses. And he said, do you like them? And I said, I love that particular rose. He took a section and said, you can strike this, you know. Now, in other words, you can try and make it grow. And so I took it home and I put it in potting mix and I watered it and it grew roots. Whether by good fortune or good horticulture, I don't know which. But whichever it was, it grew. And now we have these beautiful little miniature red roses at home. You see, God intended that we put down roots, that we would grow rooted in love. When you put your faith in Jesus, you don't remain the same. Because of your love for Jesus, you want to be growing in faith. How do you do that? Well, you read the Bible, you spend time in prayer, you spend time with Christian friends who will encourage you and speak into your life, and you have the chance to put into practice what you are learning from your Bible reading, from your prayer, from the wisdom of those who are speaking into your life. And as you continue to put it into practice, you are growing roots. You are going deeper and deeper in love. And for those who are horticultural, you will know that the health of a plant is largely governed by the health of the roots. If you want to see a healthy plant, you're going to have a healthy root system. And it's the same is true for us. If we are going to grow in the power that this passage says is available to us, we need to have roots that go down in love. But not only are there roots available, or that need to be growing in love, for that power to be beautiful and shining brighter, your habits and what you access and what you do need to be rooted in love. Now, the second concept there is not only should you be rooted in love, you should be established in love. And in the original language, the word established there can be translated as to lay a foundation. And for those of you with more of an engineering mind rather than a horticultural mind, you would know that if you want to build a tall building, you need to have deep foundations or deep footings. The taller the building you want to build, the deeper the foundations or the footings need to be. Unless you create a strong foundation, there is a huge risk that the building will either move a little or may even collapse. The power of God that is available to us is incredible, but it needs deep roots and deep foundations in love. Here at Rangeville a couple of weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday, I was speaking about our prayer for God to move with power in our church. And I talked about an aspect of revival where I said revival is an intensification of the ordinary operations of the Holy Spirit. What are the ordinary operations of the Holy Spirit? Well, he would convict us of sin. For someone who doesn't know Jesus, he would convict them of their separation from God such that they would choose to actually want to turn to God. For those who already know Jesus, that the conviction of sin would cause them to recognize sin in their life and in turn be willing to repent from that. That conversion is that point where people who don't know Jesus choose to turn to God. They're converting from their former way of life to a new way of life in Christ. That there would be increased assurance, increased certainty of the love of God and the grace of God for them. And there would be sanctification. That people are wanting to grow in their relationship with Jesus, that they become more and more Christ-like. And when those four things are happening with greater intensity, with greater frequency, with greater passion and power, then you will see people who are already Christians growing in their faith and people who are not Christians coming to faith. That's revival. As the church and the Christian faith is coming into a new level. And we would pray for this. But as we pray for this, we must ensure that our roots and foundations are deep in love. We must be grounded in the love of Christ. We want to know what it means to be loved. We want to be people who do love others. And it's true for us as individuals, but it's also true for us collectively as a church, which is why this passage goes on and says that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. All of the Lord's holy people are called individually and collectively as a church to be growing, putting down roots deeper and deeper into love, laying foundations deeper and deeper, that we would become a loving, caring community that can sustain growth, that we are able to minister with the power that God makes available to us because we are in Christ's love. And so the second part of this aspect of having power is that we need power to grasp the enormity of the love of Christ. See, this prayer is that you would grasp the enormity of the love of Christ. Christ's love for you, it says here, is wide and long and high and deep. And when we look at the love of Christ and the way he ministered, we saw that it was wide and long. In the book of Ephesians, we have seen that Paul is writing to say that there are the Jews and the Gentiles and you are to be one. As we saw earlier in communion when Jesus said that there would be one flock under one shepherd. And so Jesus ministered to those who were Jews, but he also ministered to a Roman centurion's servant and healed him, and to a Syrophoenician's daughter and healed her. And he went to the Samaritans, and the Samaritans and Jews did not get on in any way, shape or form. But Jesus met with a Samaritan woman and she put her faith in him, and then the whole village of that woman came to put their faith in Jesus. Jesus's love was wide and long. It's also high in the way that he looks up and loves his Father. And when we think of the depth of Jesus' love, the image that comes to me is the depth of the love. How deep can love go? When Jesus is hanging on a cross and he looks down and says, "Forgive them." Those who are killing him as he hangs dying on the cross, and he digs down into the depths of love to forgive them and love them. Many of us want to love like Jesus. And there's three great commandments about love that Jesus gave us. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength." He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." But then he also said in John 13, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, by this shall everyone know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." So we have these three commandments. We know these. But we need to have a desire for love that's going to surpass just knowing it. That's the third point. We need to know love that surpasses knowledge. We can academically know those three commandments. We can say they are good. We know that we want to aspire to them. But we need to know love that surpasses the fact that we just know it. We don't just want knowledge. We want a love that surpasses knowledge. We want to be people who will receive and release love. We know that we are meant to love. But like the lamp, we often don't shine as brightly as we should. So how can we change to love with the width and the length and the height and the depth that Jesus demonstrated? Well, Romans 5:5 helps us to understand this. It says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If we want to love God more, if we want to love our neighbor more, if we want to love one another more, we can't do it in our own strength. Someone can try to love someone, but if God is not in the picture, their love is either pure emotionalism or it is kindness, both of which are not necessarily bad. But if you truly want to love, you need to have Christ in you, dwelling in you. You need the presence of God in your life to truly love. It is only the presence of God. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, if we want to love more, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to be increasingly pouring God's love into our lives. See, that's what Ephesians 3, 16, 17 is talking about, this presence of God, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that the Holy Spirit would be present, dwelling in you, his glory would be in you, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. So we are praying that God would strengthen us with power through his Spirit, through Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts. So if we truly want to love more, we need more of the power of the Spirit in us. If we want more of the Holy Spirit in us, then all we need to do is ask the Father. Because what Jesus said to us is, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, these two verses are key in understanding Ephesians 3. God's love comes from the Holy Spirit. God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And if we want to receive more of the Holy Spirit, we need to ask our Father in heaven, who will give more of the Holy Spirit to us, that we would express more love. And out of that love, then we can walk in greater power, because it's the love that causes that power to be safe through God. So far what we've seen in this passage is that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you may have power, and that power is rooted and established in love, that we need power to grasp the enormity of the love of Christ, that we need to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Why? All those first three points are a precursor that builds up to the culmination of the fourth point, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's where it's leading us to, that we may be filled with the fullness of God, that you may know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God desires to fill you with more of his presence. God desires that his Holy Spirit be fully evident and active in you. And what verse 20 goes on to say then is that now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. These two verses sit together in the context that God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can do immeasurably more than all you can possibly ask for or all you can possibly imagine. The Holy Spirit can give unlimited power, but power that is grounded in his love. Now, if you're like me, that makes you want to love more. That makes you want more of God's power so that you can shine brighter in the world to those around about you. But the sad reality, if you're like me, is that in our personal lives and in our churches, we don't see the evidence of this power in the way that it's described here. is described here as immeasurably more than we can ask for and imagine. And yet we don't see that. It's not happening in our midst that way. And so we come back to this question that I started with. Why do we often fail to shine brightly despite having access to unrestricted power from God? So we've got our two lamps here, and they have a different brightness. We've already discovered the issue is not the power supply, because it's the same power board that's providing power to both of them. So why is one light brighter than the other? And some of you are thinking, well, he's put a low wattage lamp in one. No, I didn't. I put something around the bulb. But why? Well, you see, often in our lives, there's a barrier. Often in our lives, there's a barrier that's stopping us from shining out the love of God. The power of God is available to us, but the barriers that we have us up in us prevent us from receiving and releasing the power of God in the way it's meant to be. See, the Holy Spirit's already dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit's already alive in you, and he is not restricted. God's love is not restricted. It is us who limits how much we receive and release God's love. God's power is not restricted. It is us who restricts how much we receive and release God's power. God's power is unlimited. It's more than we can ask for or imagine. But we limit how much we receive and release. So what limits us? What are these barriers? Well, it's our sin. It's our hurt. It's our rejection. It's the pain of things that have happened to us. And those things become a barrier that inhibits the release of the Holy Spirit's presence in us. And that's why we fail to shine brightly. So what do we do with that? How do we live in the promises that are described in this passage? How do we receive God's power and love? Well, as we've seen this morning, if you ask the Father, he longs to give it to you. Ask God to help us know his love. His love that surpasses knowledge. That's how incredible that love is. It surpasses knowledge. We grow in love by putting down roots and developing foundations. By spending time in God's word, reading or listening to it. By spending time talking with God, by spending time with brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage you and speak into your life, and you get the chance to do the same for them and to practice growing in your faith. You grow in love and power by humbly coming before God and asking him to deal with the issues that are restricting you from receiving and knowing his love and power. Well, what's that look like? It means that you're willing to be open to Holy Spirit conviction. That you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of the things that you know in your life that are sin or hurt or pain or trauma that's preventing you. And in some cases, you don't actually remember those things. Maybe you've buried it. Maybe you've repressed it. Maybe you're just not aware of it. But when we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to convict us and bring us revelation of the things that are holding us back, God in his love and grace will do that for you. And then we see that when we are convicted of that sin or that pain or whatever, we are willing to come before God and repent of our sin, to ask for his forgiveness, to be set free from the things that have been restricting us from knowing his love and power. In other words, it means that we want to be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and we want to establish new godly habits. Where we've had things that are ungodly, we start replacing them with things that are godly. See, if we are open to God's love and power that's available to us, then we can use it to glorify God. That's what the final two verses in this passage are all about. The book of Ephesians is 6 chapters long. It's divided really into two parts. There's chapters 1 to 3, and today we finish chapter 3. And the first three chapters are very much around what it means to live in Christ, to understand what it means to be one people in Christ without division, to understand what it means to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, being released through us. The second part of the book of Ephesians is dealing much more with the practical stuff. What's it look like to be that as a church that makes a difference in the community? But as we come to the end of these first three chapters, it wraps up with what is called a doxology. A doxology comes from two words, doxa, which means glory, and logos, which means words or to speak. So the word doxology means to speak words of glory. And so if you've heard in churches where they talk about a doxology, they're talking about words that brings glory to God. And so this is called a doxology because in the middle of it, it says, to him be glory. And so what this passage says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. See, the reason God is wanting us to receive more of his Holy Spirit power, a power that is grounded in love, is so that the glory of God's presence in us would increase, and the glory of God in the church would increase, and that would happen in your generation. Now, some of you are going, well, hang on, I'm a great-grandparent. Is he talking to my generation? And some of you are going, well, hang on, I'm a teenager. He's talking to my generation? Throughout all generations, to each one of you, in the generation you are in, there is a desire that there would be an increased expression of God's power through the Holy Spirit grounded in love in your generation and the next generation and the next and the next, in all generations forever and ever, for all eternity. And that this will bring God glory. God's Holy Spirit power is available to you if you are willing to receive it. The issue is not the supply of power, but your openness to receiving and releasing God's love and power. And love is the foundation of God's power in our lives and in our church. Let's take a minute just to stop and reflect on this as we ask, what did God say to me today? And how do I respond to this? Let's pray. Father, we come humbly before you this morning. Lord, we know that you desire that we would shine brightly to those around us. And we know that the supply of your power is not the cause of us not being as bright as we should be. So Lord, strengthen us with power through your Spirit. Lord, pour out your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, convict us of issues in our lives that are restricting us from knowing your love and power. Holy Spirit, help us repent of our sin and establish new godly habits that cause us to receive and release your love and power, so that we will shine more brightly to those around about us. Lord, be glorified, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Amen. As we wrap up this morning, if you would like to have prayer, and whether that's prayer because you want to ask the Father for more of the Spirit, then there will be a prayer team down the front, and they'd love to pray with you. If you have any other prayer needs, please come, and there's teams here who'd love to pray with you. If you have a need for physical healing, then invite you to come to this side, and we invite you to, we'll have children coming out, and they'd love to pray for physical healing, and we invite you to come and have prayer for that. Tea and coffee is available in the foyer. We invite you to stay if you're able to and enjoy that time together. Let me close with this beautiful doxology from this passage we've just unpacked. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to catching up next week.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.